10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Champagne room mishap. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
He don't spin records. Here we go. It's Walter Sterling. Every damn night. He's not uptight, he's always right. Radio 1210. Sterling calls with music. Talks with you. The latest, the greatest, and time and temperature too. So here comes Sterling. And here we go. On WPHT Radio.
I am not Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night on great radio stations coast to coast. My name is Peter Thiel. Later on in the show, I'm going to give you recipes for how to make peacock. Yes, there's a reason why I'm bringing that up, and I've got a great peacock recipe for you. But first, Dutch the Barber is with us right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. And Dutch was just exposed to the furry subset. Hey, Dutch, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am well. So you were somewhere, and you were in a hotel with the furries.
That's right. Yep. I was in Pittsburgh. We went up for a weekend. And we did not realize at that time it's the largest furry convention in the United States. And we pull into downtown Pittsburgh, and I see all these people walking around with tails and, you know, costumes on. And there was hundreds of them everywhere. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? So we get to our hotel.
Yep.
And turns out that's what it was.
Yeah, and here's the deal about furries. For the uninitiated, this is kind of like, shall we say, it's kind of a fetish for many of them. It is primarily white people essentially fornicating while dressed up like their favorite stuffed animal.
Well, you know what? I've heard that part of it, okay? I was there, and number one, I was surprised none of them really drink or party, okay, because the hotel bars there, they weren't in there. You know, these kids were, like, kind of awkward, kind of nerdish. You know, they were pretty polite. I got in an elevator with them, and I was like, hi, guys, and they just kind of froze for a second there. The ones that I would get to talk to me were pretty nice, but I did not see any bad behavior. You know, maybe they'd keep it over at the convention center, you know, maybe they keep, I don't know, you know, or maybe
their rooms or whatever that may be,
whatever that is. I can tell you that they were very polite. They were very, they had manners, you know, they weren't being, you know, and I didn't see anything too lewd or, you know, anything like that, you know,
furry with, odd pelvic thrusts or anything like that.
No, nothing like that. As a matter of fact, I went up to them. I'm like, hey, you guys, I'm new to this thing here. Can I get a picture taken with you guys? And they were more than happy, really polite to me, nice to me, you know. It was funny, a couple of years back, there was a rumor that was going around, and I heard it from several of my customers, that somewhere in Ohio, and I heard it was from maybe, you know, this school or that school, that there was a kid who they put a cat litter box in the restroom for this kid because he had identified as whatever this was, you know. And one of the barbers that works for me said, oh, no, I heard that. It was at this school. And I laughed because I said, you know, this is the United States of America, right? And we have a thing here called the health department that will not let people go to the bathroom in a cat litter box in a school. You know, plus the janitor is not going to be happy. I think people want to believe that, or, you know, it was some crazy thing. But I don't believe that had happened, you know.
It's Dave the Barber on Sterling Every Damn Night. And Dave, let me, before we get to haircuts, is that I want to believe the kitty litter thing in schools more than anyone on this planet. And I always get calls because I work at a radio station. So I get calls from concerned citizens. They say their next door neighbor's kid sees that at the school. I'm going, okay, every one of these creepy kids has a cell phone. Take a picture of it and email it to me. Then I'll call the school district. I think it's one of the great urban legends ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is. It is 100%. Like I said, we have a health department. They're not going to let that happen. You know, it's just such a crazy, but a lot of the stuff that you hear, you have to put common sense into it and say, okay, that's probably true. Or maybe there's a chance that it is true, right? That one, I'm going to give a big no. There's no way.
By the way, let's talk about haircutting just for a second.
All right. Oh, by the way, just so you know, I'm down in Dollywood right now, sitting at the Heart Song at the lounge. We spent the day down in Dollywood, so if it's a little loud right now, that's why. There's people down here around me. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, you sound great, and I think any extra noise is always positive. So
okay, good. I came down here because I heard Dolly's single now, so, you know, I'm just hoping, you know, there's maybe a chance, but I doubt it, you know.
Okay, here I am. Well, you know, let's face it. She is single. She's a widow, fresh widow, and she's come upon a lot of money. So, and I don't think she and her husband had kids. So, I mean, there's a great opportunity for some enterprising single man.
Well, you know what? I've loved her since I was a kid. You know, she could even have it all. You know, that'd be fine with me. Just give me one crack at it. I love that woman. Plus, she's given away most of her money. Have you seen how much money she's given away over the years? It's insane. It just she is like amazing.
No, she's awesome. So I am my hair is falling out at a rapid rate, and I've been thinking of doing the comb over. It's the best comb over. Is it the back to front one, or grow out my side and just flip her over the top? What do I do?
There's no such thing as a good comb over. There's not, and you know, thankfully, it's kind of gone away. You know, when I started working there 20 years ago, I had, 25 years ago, I had a couple guys that would come in and they had bad toupees. And they would come in and they would take off their toupee and they would want me to shave the head underneath it, right? Then that sort of went away. And then I noticed that the comb overs had started, they started going away. And we're a busy shop and we really don't have much of that at all anymore. You know, the way that I like to do it is I tell these guys, don't make it long stringy. I blend it into the side. So if they are trying to cover up a little bit, you know, you don't have those long hairs hanging over that are the telltale sign that, you know, this guy's bringing it over. You know, I can kind of make it look almost like it's not right. But guys seem to be more confident today. They seem to embrace whatever it is. And they're not asking for those at all anymore. It's crazy.
Actually wanted to inquire. My eyebrows are growing out very quickly. I was trying to figure out if you pluck them, can you pluck them and place them on top of my skull?
Well, you know what? You might be able to go somewhere and have that done. I've heard somewhere in Europe they have these places where they'll take hair from anywhere on your body and put it on top of your head, you know, whatever the heck it is. But I don't necessarily know that I would trust that, you know.
Yeah, you see,
Into the fall here. We're heading into the fall here, and I always tell the guys, I can tell how bad the winter is going to be. This one guy comes into the shop. He's got these big, bushy eyebrows. And when his eyebrows are really bushing out, I know it's going to be a bad winter. So that helps me out.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy Dollywood. Remember, she's fallen into a lot of money. And Dutch the barber, you can sweep her off her feet.
That was my game plan. I haven't seen Dolly yet, but it's my game plan. You know. All right. Thanks for letting me be on the air.
Hey, no, great having you on, hearing about the furries. Coming up, we are going to be speaking to Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood live. He's next. It's Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. I'm sitting in for our man, Walter M. Sterling.
This is the show that's setting the trend. Across the nation, it's setting the trend. It's the bright, exciting sound of Sterling.
Boom!
is the man himself, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood. Matthias, it's I'm Peter Thiel in for Walter Sterling tonight, who's on vacation. You get me this weekend and next weekend, I will be able to punish the nation. And you don't know how much I love that.
I think it's great. I think it's great. You're a wonderful broadcaster, and I'm always delighted when Walter is lucky enough to get you in to fill in for him, as are we. We're all lucky to have you on.
Well, thank you very much. So the new Naked Gun movie.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, you know, it's the continuation of the movie series based on the TV show Police Squad, which spawned four sequels with Leslie Nielsen as Frank Drebin. This time, it's action star Liam Neeson, who plays Frank Drebin Jr., if you can imagine that, as he investigates a strange traffic accident tied to a corporate giant with nefarious plans, played by Danny Houston, a real actor. In a comedic tribute to film noir, the blonde femme fatale is played by Pamela Anderson, who's actually quite a delight in this movie, Peter. She's so good, you actually believe she is the stereotypical dumb blonde of the movies. I must admit that I laughed out loud several times. It's a very silly movie. The kind of movies that were popular in the 80s, just really kind of crass bathroom jokes, a few scatological jokes, rarely seen today. But as good as Neeson is, his type of indefatigable march towards at all odds with no brains is no match for his screen father, as Nielsen played in the earlier four films. I think that sort of blank stare that Nielsen had of total surprise was just exemplary of his fine acting, which had started, of course, in classic movies as a straight actor, you know, dramatic roles, and then he had that blossoming as a comedic actor in the last years of his life, which were really great. So I don't think Liam Neeson is at that same level, but it is a great contrast because he's always the guy on in every movie. He plays the guy who's trying to revenge the death of his wife. That's the plot of every single Liam Neeson movie. So here,
daughter being
nice
kidnapped, something like that. Something's gone real bad, and Liam Neeson's picked himself up a gun, and he's going to solve the issue.
Yeah, that's right. So, oh, by the way, there's a nice cameo in this from Priscilla Presley. She appeared in the original films. And why not? Weird Al Yankovic, too. So it's not great, Peter, but fun enough for a few laughs at a discount matinee.
Well, let's be honest. We live in a time where humor had disappeared for a while. And over the last about probably the last 18 months, comedians like the Shane Gillises, like the Kill Tonys, have come out of the ether and have created a moment of laughter. We're ready for comedies. And I think, doggone it, more comedies the better.
Yes, I think we all need a good laugh because, my gosh, things are tough right now in many ways. And I think remembering to laugh is really, as Reader's Digest used to say in its pages, laughter is the best medicine.
That's what I hear, and it must be so. So, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood is Sterling every damn night. I'm Peter Thiel sitting in. Matthias, what else has opened up this last weekend?
Well, of course, the Fantastic Four opened the previous weekend, and it's done an amazing $198 million in just about a week and a half, and that's tremendous in the U.S. and Canada. There's The Bad Guys 2, an animated film. Walter Sterling saw it with his kid, and he laughed. He thought it was funny, although he didn't quite understand it. Apparently, his daughter understood everything that was going on. And, of course, Superman, just trailing a couple of weeks before, that's now up to $316 million. It's done well, but I think it's tapering. I think The Naked Gun is already starting to taper because it only has made $17 million, and that's a shame because comedies are tough. But Lonnie Anderson, let me just touch on that again. She's really worth seeing this movie because not Lonnie Anderson. I was thinking of the passing of Lonnie Anderson, who just died today. But Pamela Anderson is really great in this movie.
And I, and of course, you don't know whether this is just out publicized stuff, but Liam Neeson is a widower, and Pam Anderson's obviously had some personal life trials in the tabloids. And it seems like those two wacky kids are getting along just great. And let's hope this is a real deal and that they're happy and have a wonderful life. I think that would be awesome.
at the end of the movie, stay for the credits if you do go see it, because there's a lot of jokes all the way through the credits. I mean, if you wait long enough, they even give you an eye test, and at the bottom it says in very small print, your eyesight's fine. I mean, there's great visual gags all the way through the crawl as it crawls up from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. Of course, extra scenes, a wonderful, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there's a great scene with here I go again. I got it stuck in my mind. Miss Anderson, Pamela Anderson, and Liam Neeson at the end. That's certainly enjoyable. So look forward to that if you go to the movies this week.
I think that sounds like a great deal. Boom, boom, Hollywood. Matthias, what's your website for people to check out your review stylings?
Well, I think it's easiest to send people to Facebook. It's Matthias Bombals Hollywood. Let me spell that. That's MATIASBOMBAL, apostrophe S, Hollywood, like the city. Matthias Bombals Hollywood. And, Peter, speaking of tails and furry things, please give a big hug and all my love to Maggie the dog.
I will do so. I will get. She's obviously a dog that has been neglected. That poor animal has everything going on in his life. So thank you very much, Matthias, and you have a great day. And Maggie says hi back. It's the Walter Sterling Show, Sterling Every Damn Night. My name is Peter Thiel. I'm filling in for old Walter as he's taken some good old vacation time. And I will try to provide you with the type of radio infotainment that you can go from there. Now, coming up is going to be Jessica DeLuise. She's the wellness expert. And I'm going to ask her about a wonderful food choice that I've been introduced to that's just delicious. And it's called peacock. Have you ever had peacock? Peacock cutlets are pretty doggone awesome. I'm even going to share my recipe with Jessica. She's probably going to regret it and say, what are you doing? But that's what we do right here on Sterling Every Damn Night, where we provide you with the great infotainment that you cannot find anywhere else. Also coming up, we will be checking in with JB Bakery. We're going to have Father Drucker's going to be on, the rock and roll priest. I always look forward to having him. Thea Landon's going to have some smutty reading for us at the end of the show to send you to bed with a smile on your face. And that's good, too, plus all the updates that you get right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. The other thing I want to talk about is that Denise Richards is going through another divorce. And is it just because she's just way too doggone attractive? What is it about these super attractive women that, for whatever reason, keep going out of their way and just being nightmares to be around? I want to talk a little bit about that. That's coming up right here on Sterling Every Damn Night, across the country, coast to coast, around the globe on the World Wide Web. I'm Peter Thiel, in for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Here he comes every damn night. Walter Sterling, and he's always right. Hey, 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 it's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. When he comes on the air, the misfits love it, but the bosses get scared. Hey, 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 it's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. He's not all that friendly, but he can talk all right. So be here, here for Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. So be here for Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough, JB Bakery, Salida and Steve, Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's Peter Thiel in for Walter M. Sterling, Sterling Every Damn Night from JB Bakery. Our friend Selena is with us. Selena, is there a big call for gluten-free baked goods?
You know, there is, and vegan baked goods as well. So we actually make vegan or gluten-free cupcakes at the bakery, as well as chocolate chip cookies. And tomorrow is August 4th, which is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. So if you're a vegan or if you're gluten-free, you can come to the bakery. We've got something for you.
Nice. So chocolate chips, is there a number of chips that are preferable per chocolate chip cookie?
Well, I mean, it does depend on your personal preference. I mean, I think it does change the cookie depending on what kind of chocolate chips you're using. If you're using dark chocolate, semi-sweet, milk chocolate, or you could get creative, add some white chocolate chips, butterscotch flavored chips. I mean, really, the options are endless. And I mean, my preferred is semi-sweet because I think it's not super dark, but it's also not too sweet because the cookie's already sweet itself.
No, that's nice. Now, when the cookies are being made, obviously we'll talk about the vegan and gluten-free options, but the one for the rest of us, do you prefer in making cookies European butter that's salted or unsalted?
Well, I know Stephen always tries to talk about that on here, and Walter always says that we just need to be able to go to the grocery store and get it. So if you just go to the grocery store and pick out any butter, you'll be able to make cookies. But a European butter is going to make a difference. I mean, if you were to pick five different butters from the store and make five batches of cookies, they would all come out a little bit different. So the fat content can change how your cookies taste, how cakey they are versus how thin and crispy they are. So it really is a science.
Now, the size of the cookies. Now, at JB Bakery, which is an awesome place to go, is the cookie, do you guys make them small or do you make them big?
Well, we have our classic giant chocolate chip cookie. It's probably the size of your face. But for chocolate chip cookie day, we're going to have just about every kind of chocolate chip cookie. Little ones, big ones, half brownie, half chocolate chip cookie. We're going to make chocolate chip cookie cups that are stuffed with candy like Kit Kats and Reese's, and we just keep adding more chocolate chip cookie themed things to the menu.
No, that's awesome. Now, what time of the day do you guys start making these amazing cookies?
There are bakers there right now who are already making them. There's always pretty much somebody there who's baking everything fresh, ready to go out, because, I mean, when it's chocolate chip cookie day, you got to have cookies.
Yeah, you can't run out. If you run out of cookies, Selena, that's a bad day for chocolate chip cookie day. Now, for people that are in the area that can come out and see you, what time are you open tomorrow for people to come out and enjoy those wonderful chocolate chip cookies?
You can come in as early as 6 a.m., and if you tell them that you're a midnight misfit, you listen to the radio, you'll actually get a free chocolate chip cookie tomorrow. Usually it's a free donut, but tomorrow for chocolate chip cookie day, you can have a chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, now there we go. Selena, thank you so much. What's your website? What's the website?
It's JBBakery.com, or you can just look up JB Bakery on Instagram or Facebook.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Our friend Selena right here on Sterling every damn night. And something, by the way, since we're on food and drink, that's what we've been discussing seemingly the entire time today, because, you know, we got to talk about peacock cutlets and stuff like that. There's actual diet beers and that are supposedly good. And I have not had any of these. Would love your thoughts on it. 855-839-1210. Peter Thiel in for Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. Dogfish Head 30-Minute Light IPA. Now, I'm not necessarily an IPA guy, but, you know, hey, this sounds pretty good. 95 calories, 3.6 grams of carbs, 4% alcohol by volume. Hoppy Dogfish Head's 30-minute IPA combines classic notes of citrus peel with juicy mango and pineapple. That's what, according to these judges that like a, you know, diet beer. I have not seen that. Blue Moon Light, I've seen that. That's good. I have not picked up this one. Now, I don't know if you have. Garage Beer Lime. Garage Beer Lime. Again, 3 grams of carbs, 4% alcohol, 95 calories, and it's supposed to be really quite good. Another IPA, but it's it's a non-alcoholic IPA, which is good. Partake IPA. No carbs, only 10 calories. Wow. And Lagunitas, is that how you pronounce that? If you're a bureauphile, that's what's going on from there. It's a daytime IPA. It has a full aroma and flavor, crisp, thirst-quenching beer. 98 calories, 3 grams of carbs, 4% alcohol. Michelob Ultra, I think we probably have all had that. In fact, I think I have some in my fridge right now. Heineken Silver. No, it's not for senior citizens. And apparently it's quite good. It has 95 calories, 4% alcohol. So there you go. And so those are your diet beer reviews. And just to go in it right from there, I'm not necessarily an IPA guy. Some people love them. I have a nephew that loves IPAs. Now, I'll get some. Now, I don't know if you have this at your beer store where you can pick up your own six-pack. They have a whole selection of beers you can put into the six-pack and go home with it. I like that a whole lot. I find that delicious. And I will just say that the wonders of that makes all the sense of the world. You try all certain. I'll pick up a couple of IPAs, but I like a stout. I'm a stout man. You're listening to Walter M. Sterling every damn night. I'm Peter Thiel, in for the man, Walter. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Denise Richards. I'm concerned. She's innocent, and she's single again.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
He's the master of the radio. He's even got his own show. There's nothing that he doesn't know. It's Sterling every damn night. His studio is the laundry room. He isn't into gloom and doom. You cannot call him on Zoom. It's Sterling every damn night. Observant, conversant, very fervent. So put on your radio and warm up some hot cocoa, 'cause things are about to get loco on Sterling every damn night.
My name is Peter Thiel, Sterling every damn night. Walter has the night off, so you get me. You get your Uncle Peter Thiel. And I am excited to be with you. Now, I have a question here about these women that are super gorgeous. Denise Richards is going through another divorce. And she obviously, I think, has bad taste in men, but who knows? Maybe they have bad taste in her because of her amazing beauty. So Denise Richards was married to Charlie Sheen. Her best friend, or former best friend, I think, was also married to Charlie Sheen. And Heather Locklear. And Denise Richards had a torrid affair with Heather Locklear's one of her subsequent husbands. Created a divorce there. And so she got remarried, been remarried a few years, and apparently, if you believe everything you read, she started to wump on her new husband. I think sometimes for these women who have impossible beauty, that are over the top gorgeous, and Denise Richards and Heather Locklear certainly qualify as that. I think sometimes that they are so desirable that every man looks upon them and goes, oh my God, what a gorgeous woman, what an absolute gorgeous woman. That these women are objectified to the point where they objectify every other relationship in their life. You know, there's something not too bad about dating ugly women. I found the uglier they are, the more appreciative they are of your attention. But of course, every man, we are a visual sort of species. We look at a Denise Richards, we look at a Heather Locklear, we look at it's a variety of models and beautiful actresses, etc. And it's obvious that we're automatically attracted to them because of their beauty. And you have to begin to think that if these women are not real well ground out, well grounded, you know, they're just going to go from relationship to relationship. What your thoughts on this? It's Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel, nationwide, coast to coast. Thank you to our fine affiliates all over the United States of America. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210 if you have a thought on this. It's Denise Richards, you'd never say, wow, she's a great actress. It's but she's very presentable. And she's no longer, you know, as Don Lemon would say, in her prime. It's but still, I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. So I want your thoughts on this. Let us know at 855-839-1210. We live in a society where we objectify everything. It's highly problematic, and I feel sorry for the amazingly attractive, whether you're Brad Pitt or Denise Richards. I think Brad Pitt's available. Brad Pitt and Denise Richards, what a couple. I think it's very difficult for them. And you'd sit there and say, well, why would that be? You know, lots of money, super unbelievably attractive looks. It's everyone knows who they are. All those things are signs of success, right? And I begin to look at, you know, people are uber successful in the public eye. Tiger Woods is a good example. Tiger Woods, the great golfer. I have a buddy of mine who runs golf tournaments. And they're pro-ams, and I won't say which state this is, but it's a neat deal all the way around. And they have brought in for these, you know, pro-ams, they've brought in Tiger a couple of times. And I asked, well, what is Tiger like? And he goes, well, he's fine. But he looks at everything as transactional. So his you go in for a pro-am and you're Tiger Woods or you're one of these celebrities, a lot of times you're being paid to go in. There's a plane sent for you. You're being paid for the thing. You're being put up in a nice hotel. You have your own driver, the whole bit. And he said that Tiger really was following the letter of the law to the contract and did no more than promised, no less than promised. But every interaction was a transaction. And that's really kind of a tough way to live your life, isn't it? If everybody you deal with, that you only look at them as the reason you're getting paid, highly problematic. I did an event, I don't know, probably about 15 years ago with a NASCAR driver, now a former NASCAR driver, retired doing like TV stuff, Jeff Gordon. And Jeff Gordon arrived with like an entourage. And he had like a PR woman. He didn't speak for himself. The PR woman spoke for him. It was completely the most bizarre thing because Jeff Gordon was being paid for like 1 hour appearance, like $30,000. And there was a private plane that brought him to the event and a private plane right afterwards that took him back to Charlotte. Everything was a transaction. That's a bad way to live life. It really is. Humans are awesome. That's why we're the Midnight Misfits. I'm Peter Thiel. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you about life with our 8 kids living in our old house. And today, a little bit about Becky's work. You're at a theater. You're managing a little theater. We're there the other night, and I see a bunch of young people kind of hanging around. Can we come in and look? A show's about to start.
You are so gullible.
And I say, sure, come on in. I didn't know this. They're stalking. They didn't have tickets to the show.
No.
But they were stalking someone in the audience.
Right. Someone being Ryan Trahan, who is out doing his 50 states in 50 days tour to raise money for St. Jude's Hospital. You had zero clue what this guy was coming in for, and you let the people follow him in. So these kids follow him in, jump the seats to go have their picture taken with Ryan and his wife, Haley.
They were treating him like it was Paul McCartney or something.
Well, it pretty much was. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
This guy has, on YouTube alone, 21.2 million subscribers.
And none of them.
21.2 million.
None of them is Dan Gaffney.
I had no idea.
So our kids absolutely love Ryan Trahan. So when he walks in, Pepper is our 12-year-old. She loves handing out programs at the door. So she hands him a program. He's super sweet, says thank you, which, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't do. They just kind of grab the thing and go, which way do I go? And was very kind to Pepper. Haley walks in with him and they go sit down. And immediately, I'm trying to play it cool. I'm trying not to be a complete and total ridiculous stalker. But at the same time, I'm recording them in their seats.
Right. And people are trying to get to him. They love the show. They ended up talking about it. It was great. No problem. These YouTube stars are mega stars to young people.
And let me tell you why they're there. So they're doing 50 states in 50 days, and they are raising money. You can donate money to their fund for St. Jude's Hospital, which I think is like, they're at $10 million now, I think. And
wow.
So they're going through all these states, and they're staying at an Airbnb in every state. And at my theater, we have a little community of Airbnbs kind of around the theater, and right next to it, I can see some out my window, and then right next to the door, the back door to the theater, where I prop the door open and lean out every night, is this tiny house. And the tiny house was the Airbnb they stayed in Delaware. They stay in one in every state, and then they review it. Well, they're staying there, and I peek out my door like I do every night, and I see this guy in a white t-shirt running, because every day he goes for this mile run in his t-shirt. And immediately was like, okay, wait, who is this guy? I know who this guy is. But then until I saw him in the seats, I didn't realize it. Now, the unfortunate thing is, Dan might not know who he is, but our kids do. And this was the one day that we had an early show. Not really an early show. We had a brunch, a breakfast jazz brunch.
And they didn't come with us.
They didn't. And we said, okay, we'll come home in the middle and pick you up. But we didn't finish till like 3 o'clock. Never had time to go get them.
Missed it.
Missed
one of their favorite stars.
Missed it. So again, to tell you a little bit more about the story, the next morning, our son Sterling, who is probably Ryan's biggest fan, our son Sterling says, Mom, he's going to go to Target so he could buy some of his candy. He has a natural candy company called Joyride Sweets. He says he's going to be at Target. I'm like, bud, you don't know he's going to be at this Target. They're traveling to all these states. Opal, our 17-year-old, says, I'll take him. They go, they get their pictures taken, they walk out, and within 10 minutes, they miss Ryan and Haley.
And it's all chronicled on his YouTube channel. You can see the one about Delaware. And then the next day, I think they were in New Jersey, where it starts, where they're in Delaware. So there you go.
Right. So you can see me. You can see my little head behind his head in one of the videos. You can see my best friend's kids in all of his videos.
Right.
You can see my daughter Pepper's feet. You can see him. And most of all, you can donate to his fund for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
And that's our brush with greatness, our brush with celebrity. Find me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And you can find me on Ryan Trahan's YouTube in his video about Delaware, or on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel, sitting in for the Walter M. Sterling. We're going to be talking about all the great stuff that we have going on in our wonderful place. Wonderful place all the way around. My concern, and I think it's a big concern in life, is having to do with what's going on with Lindsay Lohan. She apparently cannot get jobs. That, people look at her young adult years and they look at it and she's having a tough time going through it. Also, another thing that's going on, and I want to talk about this coming up. We all know people who have gotten married, and it seems like they've been married like 18 months. And all of a sudden you're invited to a little soiree at their home or somewhere while they renew marriage vows. You've been there. You've seen that. I'm going to give you a little helpful hint, everybody. When you are around a couple that is seeking to renew their marriage vows after being married 18 months or 2 years or 6 months, that's not good. That's usually a bad sign. That's a sign that marriage is going by the wayside. It's renewing the vows. I get it at the 20-year anniversary or 10-year anniversary. That's perfectly fine. But you're like 8 months in and you're renewing. That's my sign that somebody has not necessarily been that good in the whole marriage covenant there. See, one of them maybe is strayed. Maybe they both have sort of messed up. And they want to keep together, so they do the renewal of the marriage vows. My belief is that if you find yourself as somebody who cannot settle down, too busy, chasing skirts, or you like being the pretty girl at the event where all the guys come up and say hi to you, that's great. That's all fine and dandy. That does not necessarily mean that you should really be in the whole marriage thing. There may be that opportunity to walk away and not be a part of it. But if all of a sudden you're doing the renewal of the vows, especially if you invite people again. Now, have you ever been invited to one of these things where all of a sudden you're expected to bring a gift, at least a card? And you already maybe traveled for this wedding. It may have been a destination wedding. Maybe they got married in Poughkeepsie, Mud Butte, South Dakota. One of these great places to go and have your nuptials. Or maybe they like really cashed in and took you to Epstein Island. I don't know. I don't know what that full thing is. I'm a simple man. But renewing your vows real quickly into that is usually not a good sign. Not a good sign whatsoever. And I get it. Marriage sometimes is not terribly easy. You're dealing with all sorts of problems. You're dealing with people. You get married and all of a sudden you have a differing look at what's going on, and even for people who quote unquote live together before marriage, sometimes once they get married, the rules change. There's a change of rules, and how to go out and handle that. My thinking of the whole process of renewing the vows, it's not a good thing. And in fact, the next time I'm invited to one of those suckers, I'm not going. I'm going to say I volunteered to help children with ingrown toenails. I'm going to do something else. Peter Thiel, in for Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. This is Sterling Every Damn Night. Walter is off tonight, so you get me. You're stuck with me. How crazy is that? We've been talking a little bit about this whole this idea here about renewing marriage vows. And my theory is this. If the marriage is less than 5 years old and you're renewing your wedding vows, it's not good for a long-term marriage. Because really, that's like a 20-year anniversary type thing, a 30-year anniversary. Okay, I'll give you 10. And I get the idea that sometimes it's a very nice thing. You know, it's 30 years down the road. You guys get up, you renew your thing in front of family and friends. I think that's great. But yeah, if you're like 18 months into this sucker, that marriage ain't long for it. We want your thoughts. 855-839-1210. That's 855-839-1210. Is Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. In for the Walter M. Sterling tonight. And aren't you lucky? Well, maybe you are. Coming up, we'll have Lesbians in Space. That's coming up shortly right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. Now, it's marriage is not an easy thing. It's a difficult road to hoe. Any married couple that you speak to, they'll tell you there was rough patches in their marriage. There may have been one spouse that was a little selfish, or maybe a spouse that was taking the other for granted, or perhaps there was, a lot of times when there's kids that come into a marriage, sometimes those marriages, buckle a little bit because all of a sudden, the focus is not on each other, the focus is on the kids. And that sometimes happens. Well, you look at the issue of anybody who's in a marriage is that if you keep each other first, you're usually in pretty good shape. But when it becomes a selfish pursuit, well, that's so problematic. And that's what happens a lot with these celebrity marriages. Because you have two people who have very high-powered careers. They're out in public. They're out doing all these things. They're going on movie locations. It's very exciting. Your spouse is around beautiful people on their job site, etc. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to keep things together. And that is problematic, obviously. And when you go down that road, it's about commitment to each other. It's about keeping each other first. You're the person I've chosen to spend my life with. And when that priority changes, that's where the problems kick in a lot of the times. A lot of the time all the way around. And unless you're a woman who's married a rock star, and nearly every rock star, not all obviously, are, as Hillary Clinton would say, would be a tough dog to keep on the porch. Mainly because these guys are on tour. There's beautiful women all over the place. Dave Grohl, who used to be in Nirvana, he's in the Foo Fighters now, in the last year announced that he had welcomed a new baby daughter that was outside of his marriage. And he's been married for a long time with a bunch of daughters there. He's like, he's a girl dad, full-time girl dad, which is great. And so he goes down that road with it. Well, I think any woman who marries a rock star has to realize that there is potential for infidelity. It's a very a big temptation because you're in front of 30,000 people, 20,000 people. And there are women showing up there throwing themselves at these artists. And especially once the rock star wife has to make sure the kids are taken care of. They got a couple of little rugrats. And being able to stay and be focused on the rugrats while the husband is off on a worldwide tour for 18 months. Yeah, it's kind of problematic. And I would tend to think in marriages like that, loyalty is a very difficult thing to have. But, yeah, renewing your vows, not so much. Of course, today, a very sad day in radio. We lost, even though she was never known as a radio star. But she was a part of one of the greatest TV shows to ever exist, WKRP in Cincinnati. Lonnie Anderson has died. She was 79. And Lonnie Anderson was an amazing comedic actress. Really was, and quite frankly, was sort of pigeonholed. Probably in today's world, if she had become a star today, she probably would not be pigeonholed like she was. Because she played the beautiful, seductive, enchantress receptionist on WKRP. And because of that, it got locked in. And for those of you who are under the age of 30, it used to be a standard rule. There were two types of actors, really three types. You were either a TV, movie, or you were in theater. And very rarely did that jump back and forth. Today's actors do a wide variety of different jobs and different platforms. Now, there are some actors who have never done theater or TV, at least in recent times. Obviously, Leonardo DiCaprio, one of the biggest stars in the entire world, he started off in TV. After that was done, he became a movie star, and he's not gone back to the small screen ever since. But people like Alec Baldwin, a terrific actor, he's done both, and he's done theater. He's done all three. Not didn't go all that well on the Western he did, but, hey, that's the way it works from time to time, isn't it? But if you look at how it's changed for actors and actresses, what they're allowed to do, and it really has opened up. Now, obviously, George Clooney started off in TV, and he made his way to the movies, has never been back to TV again, unless he's doing an appearance on a late-night show. He probably doesn't need to do TV. Doing movies is probably a better thing. And movies is a much better way to make a living if you're good at it and you get that great work, because you're working once a year for sometimes it's a month on set, no more than 3 months on set. It's shooting a film and then you're done. You go home and you live your glamorous life. TV, if you're on a TV show, you are working over half the year. And these, you do a sitcom, for instance. How they shoot a sitcom is that the scripts are written each week while they're shooting. So essentially, they're learning their part on like Tuesday, practicing Wednesday and Thursday. And then they shoot it on a Friday, they get a weekend off, they do it again, and that's 26 weeks in a row. That's a half a year. That's a lot of work. That's a real effort type stuff. If you're a movie star, going on from that. Now, if you're on Broadway or if you're in plays traveling along, it's a little bit different, mainly because sometimes the shows have a very limited run. You may do you may go in and do a 3 month appearance. And that sometimes is what happens there. So, yeah. A little Hollywood insider talk. exclusively right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. I am Peter Thiel, sitting in for Walter M. Sterling. You can always call us at 855-839-1210. It's Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night.
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to go into a little bit the scandal that's hit the NYPD's aviation unit. So as you probably heard, the head of the NYPD's aviation unit was booted from the elite squad this week after trying to block the feds from probing his dangerous mishaps. Aviation Commanding Officer Winston Faison, who has numerous breaches in safety, as he attempted to make himself the unit's head helicopter instructor. When FAA inspectors made a surprise visit to the NYPD's aviation unit on July 16th because of internal complaints of the agency, Faison flipped his lid. "Don't give him anything," he barked at his cops. To make matters worse, Faison allegedly told cops working the security gate at Floyd Bennett Field not to let the FAA in. Faison also threatened to lock up his records. But then it started getting dangerous when Faison nearly crashed at the Brooklyn home base while flying the unit's pricey Bell 407 training helicopter with a student sitting next to him during a hard landing last week in June. Then later, Faison takes the same helicopter out for a solo jaunt up the Hudson River on April 25th. But get this, he's flying in the wrong seat against manufacturer's rules. His helicopter's tail rotor leaked oil, and Faison didn't catch it because he doesn't do pre-flight checks as required by the FAA, sources said. When he landed the tail of the aircraft, it was covered in oil. He caused $40,000 in damage to the tail rotor while practicing a quick stop maneuver over the rocks on July 4th. If that goes, you're going to go spinning around like a top. Faison got his coveted helicopter instructor license in record time on the city's dime, despite showing up so late to an $80,000 course in Texas that concerned trainers in the Lone Star State called the NYPD's base at Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn to complain. Faison, who insiders say is friends with New York City Mayor Eric Adams, was put in charge of the unit in 2023 and made $234,000, record show. Sadly, this appears to be yet another case of New York City Mayor Eric Adams appointing another one of his bonehead friends to a sensitive position inside the New York City Police Department. You know, when I was on the job, I worked in a sensitive location, and every now and then we would get people in there that were contracts. Somebody knew someone's son, someone knew this chief, and we would kind of put them off to the side. And they really weren't that dangerous. But when you start screwing around and putting people in sensitive positions with heavy machinery like helicopters, you're going to get someone killed. So it's a good thing that the city of New York finally got this guy out of this position. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Lesbians in space.
Are you a parking ticket? I don't know. You've got fine written all over you. Oh, what's that? Oh, very fine. My bad. I didn't read the small print.
Yeah. tonight. It is not honorable if you don't do so. So tune your radio, not to NHK, but rather to Sterling every damn night. It's the most honorable way.
Every damn night, my name is Peter Thiel. I'm in for Walter Sterling. Yeah, right here on the whole coast. We're here from Maine to Sacramento. You know what I love about Sacramento, and anybody who's a Sacramentan can tell you, Jim Boy's Tacos. Jim Boy's Tacos, the place to go. And in fact, I need to make my Sacramento trip. It's been a while. And places to go is that wonderful place. Hey, coming up next hour, we're going to speak with Dave Scott. Lots of stuff going on with the aliens. I want to talk about it. It's also Canadian wildfire season, and I don't understand why they can't handle simple forestry. Simple forest. Follow what the Native Americans did for thousands of years. Cleaning out brush, doing controlled burns, all that sort of stuff. But no, we've got egghead people who decide, oh, leave all that underbrush. Leave it all. And so now we get fires all the time. You suck. All right, Sterling Every Damn Night. More on the way, exclusively right here on Sterling Every Damn Night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling Every Night, lost in space, mission control.
The proprietor of SpacedOutRadio.com. The man is named Dave Scott. He is the official alien and UFO expert of Sterling Every Damn Night. Dave, thank you. I want to thank Canada for all the wildfires.
Oh, we appreciate that. As my area right now has been going through night number 3 of lightning storms, so we're on watch right now for my area for forest fires as well.
Good times. Good times all the way around. I've been fascinated by Element 115. What can you explain that to us?
Absolutely. Element 115 is a very highly reactive particle that is known on the elemental table as moscovium. Now, this is something that is highly combustible. It is not something that can be controlled very easily by scientists. But here's the interesting part about Element 115. It's only been the last 20, 25 years that it has actually been on the periodic table. How did we learn about it before that, though? That's where the story gets very interesting. You see, back in 1989, a gentleman going by the name of Dennis decided that he was going to protect himself by a pseudonym named Dennis and go on with George Knapp of Coast to Coast AM and of KLAS Channel 8, an investigative journalist, basically saying that they were developing and reverse engineering alien aircraft back at Area 51 and that he was a scientist working on this project. Now, what is his name? Bob Lazar. Many people have heard about the name Bob Lazar, joined it with Area 51. Bob Lazar only worked a few weeks out at Area 51. And why only a few weeks? Well, that's because he had told some people that he knew in Las Vegas that he was reverse engineering spacecraft, including a gentleman named, what was his name? He's passed away now. I just lost his name. Anyways, this gentleman, John Lear, pardon me, thank you. John Lear, his father invented the Lear jet, was very interested in this topic. Now, Lazar claims prior to Area 51, he didn't believe in UFOs. He did not believe that there was alien technology visiting Earth until he got the job at Area 51. Now, there is controversy around that because many people claim they've never been able to find that he went to MIT. There are many people who claim that he's never been a government employee. However, his story since 1989, which is 36 years ago, has never changed. A good friend of mine, James Goodall, he is in the Aviation Hall of Fame in the United States. He's a good friend of Bob Lazar's, and I've actually talked to Bob Lazar once on the phone a couple of years ago. It was a nice birthday present to actually have a conversation with him. And Mr. Goodall believes every word that Lazar is saying, that his identity was wiped. Now, here's the controversy about this whole thing that kind of really, really shakes my head. You would think that a man who allegedly worked at Area 51 couldn't become a government contractor in nuclear energy. Yet out in the beautiful state of Oregon, Klamath Falls to be exact, he had a company that he recently sold in the last year and a half, 2 years, that dealt with nuclear energy and had government contracts for it. So did he actually work at Area 51? I tend to believe he did, and he discovered the Element 115 as a main player in making the ships from space fly.
I think that's absolutely fantastic, and I happen to believe that we can probably learn a lot from this technology that we've come into contact with, whether it Element 115 or the complete thing that we've been hearing about for, 30 years, cold fusion, that it will be an amazing thing. It will allow us to go to space, go to deep space, for us to go in and explore the galaxy. And I love that a whole lot. The other question I have for you, Dave Scott, spacedoutradio.com, Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm Peter Thiel. I had heard, this has been floated around, I've read stuff on it, about nanotechnologies to travel to distant planets, etc. And that was the big idea. Is that still something that's talked about, or is that got now on the back burner?
Boy, you really are into the dark stuff tonight. I love it, Peter Thiel. I love it. Thank you for bringing this up. Okay, the nanotechnologies are actually very interesting. Now, I'm not a real science guy, but I could tell you where it leads to. It leads to something called the Secret Space Program. What is that? Well, it is believed that for the last number of decades, not years, decades, the United States government has had what they call a secret space program. This is outside of NASA. And with this program, it is believed that there are jump rooms, that people can jump from location to location. And if you want to know what that's like, remember the movie Austin Powers, where he jumps through the time machine? That kind of machine is what we're talking about, except it doesn't spin you back to 1968. This, you can go, let's say you're in New Jersey, and you want to go visit a person in Philadelphia without taking the highway. Or you want to go to see somebody in Seattle, you walk through this room and you walk into this machine, and boom, you walk out on the other side in Seattle or Philadelphia or wherever it means. Now, there are people out there who claim that this is a real thing, that you could travel forward in time. You could travel backwards in time to see events in history. Another controversial figure on this is Andrew Bashago, who claims that he was a child chrononaut. A chrononaut is somebody who would actually jump through time to see what was going on. And they use children because children's bodies were not fused until a certain age with their bones and joints. Therefore, they could handle the travel through these jump rooms. Now, it is said that these are stationed all over the United States, even the moon, even Mars. So the question is, how did we get there? Well, it's believed that the moon has been inhabited for a long time. Apparently, according to the stats, even if these stats are false, I don't know, but I'm going to feed them to you, that there are over a million people working on the moon. And the same with Mars. How did they get there? Well, they have these big black triangle type craft called TR-3Bs. Nobody knows if they're in the United States government's hands. It is all speculative. However, it is believed that these craft have the ability to travel to the moon and into space. Therefore, what we see with all this new rocketry, especially from SpaceX, is actually quite obsolete. Is it true? I don't know. I've seen two black triangles in my life. I still think they are of alien craft. Other people believe, though, that they're not. In fact, I have one source who won't even allow me to ask him about the secret space program and the TR-3Bs. I said to him one day, I said, hypothetically, my friend, I said, if these do exist, where would they park them? There has to be a base. Is it Area 51? Is it Guantanamo Bay? Maybe one of the secret islands up in Alaska? And he said, well, hypothetically speaking, if these craft existed, who says they have to land?
Wow.
And that kind of makes sense, Peter, considering a United States military and Navy aircraft carrier with its nuclear-powered generators only has to refuel every 25 to 30 years. And if these craft have some sort of nuclear generation or something that they have reverse engineered from these captured alien craft, who knows how long or how far that these craft can actually travel into space?
Well, I want to jump down next time we speak, and I'll be here next weekend. So remind me of this if I all of a sudden space out. Sorry for the pun. Is that I want to go down the dark matter route with you, because I find that fascinating as well.
Love it.
So, Dave Scott, what's your website?
SpacedOutRadio.com. Anybody can reach me at info@spacedoutradio.com. And our YouTube channel, where all of our archives are, or any major podcast network, you can watch them for free.
Dave Scott, thank you very much. You are listening to, my name is Peter Thiel, by the way, filling in for Walter M. Sterling. You're listening to Sterling every damn night.
Lesbians in space.
I have a lot of friends that are like in their 30s that come up to me and they're like, oh, I think I'm a lesbian now. I think I'm a lesbian. It's like you had a lemon drop shot and you kissed your friend. That is not a lesbian.
He's Walter Sterling, and he gives the bosses a fright, 'cause he's kinda unpredictable on Sterling every damn night.
It is Peter Thiel's Walter Sterling Show, Sterling Every Damn Night. I am your fill-in guy to go right from there. Now, Dave Scott, who's our guy who's all about the aliens, all about the stuff, I love that. I find it fascinating. I appreciate science and physics and all that sort of stuff. We live in an unbelievable universe where we know very little. While this is not necessarily a theology show, you have to go in and think of, there are two different lines of thinking, that there's intelligent design, that we were created by a supreme being, whichever one you want to choose, that's fine with me. And that's good. And you can be that supreme being and that type of stuff, or the singularity. And physicists believe that the Big Boom happened from the super dense singularity that exploded out of nowhere and created the entire universe. And life developed after that. We know nothing. As much as everyone talks about the intelligence of humanity, we now have something called artificial intelligence. We really know nothing. We have zero understanding of the universe. We brought up the idea of dark matter. Physicists believe dark matter exists mainly because, as crazy as that may seem, dark matter essentially is the glue to the universe. Physics cannot explain it. We have no idea, but we believe it exists. And it's fascinating. Because I think, as Albert Einstein referred to it, as the God particle. We really have no idea on many things. On many things at all. So if you sit there and take whatever beliefs you may have. And by the way, I'm not criticizing if you have a belief that's different than mine. That's fine. It is perfectly allowable. 855-839-1210. But we don't know. Physics and math and science can come up with ideas. But the singularity, we really don't know if it existed or not. It's just the theory. And if the Big Bang created this great universe, millions upon millions of stars, billions and billions of planets, think that through. We have no understanding. Just a super dense thing blew up and created all of that. Billions of years ago. It's the scientific method is about going out and recreating something. String theory or theoretical physics, etc., is almost at this point like a belief. Like a religious belief or confirmation bias. And I don't know the answer to it, and you don't either. You may have a certain belief that you have, and I certainly have these beliefs. But I cannot go out and define these things. And the whole process of dark matter, I went down the AI rabbit hole with ChatGPT, and I kept asking questions about the singularity, about dark matter, about before the singularity, what was there? And I don't know. You don't know either. The singularity, though, is by far like a religious belief. It's exactly the same. So if we spoke to Father Drucker tonight, the rock and roll priest, he would give us a very theological look at this. Is it like science? I don't know. You are listening to Sir Sterling every damn night. Coming up, we've got Florida stories. We also have Thea Landon. Exclusively on Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm Peter Thiel, sitting in for Walter, and it's awesome to hang out with you, you, and especially you.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. So for our first Florida story, I want to go over to, what is it? Is this Hollywood, Florida? Because this is wild. There's a, you know, one of the big diesel trucks that has the car hauler on the back. It's one of those trailers that has like a two-story deck of cars, and it gets stuck on a train track. Now, the problem is so many train tracks come up to a hump, and the car hauler, the back tires are so far apart that there's a long stretch where when you're going over a hump, it just bottomed out. And so it is sort of seesawing on this train track and can't do anything about it until the train shows up to knock it off the track. And I feel so sorry for this truck driver. Obviously he did something wrong, but once the car hauler is stuck on the tracks and sort of is just sort of this teeter totter, you can hear and see the diesel that's supposed to be pulling this car hauler off the tracks. It's just spinning its back wheels, and it's got to be a horrible feeling because listen to the sound of this train. And I want you to put yourself in the cab of the truck of the dude who doesn't give up. It's not like he gets out of the truck and starts running. Up until the last second, he is hitting the gas in hopes that a little bit of tread can hit and he can pull all these bright, shiny, brand new $50,000-$60,000 cars, save them from certain destruction, but it's for nothing. And listen to the beautiful sound of the destruction of about $200,000 worth of cars happening right in front of your face. First off, a huge thank you to the guy holding the phone that was taking the video for not cussing.
Yes. For the talk radio world, that is so important. I can play the unedited video with no blanks and no beeps and no having to cut it out and selectively edit.
Thank you very much for just saying, wow, oh my God, wow, oh my God. So thank you to that guy. The audio is, the video is exactly what the audio sounds like. There is the trailer that is just sitting dead center over the tracks, and the train plows through it, and it doesn't even slow the train. The train is trying to come to a stop, but the fact that it hits a trailer that's carrying six cars on it doesn't even factor into the deceleration of the train itself. Well, I mean, what an amazing display of force. Because, I mean, how much does that trailer even weigh? Could you even push that trailer over and the train goes through like nothing? The forces are amazing, but you know what? This could have happened anywhere, and it probably does happen other places sometime, but this one happened in Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Okay, for our next Florida story, I want you to join me over here as a guy who goes to Naples and give this dude points for bravery.
A Naples man breaks into the Naples Police Department headquarters, not like some adjunct facility where like the auto garage keeps the lift where they change the oil on the cars. Home Skillet breaks into, this is amazing, even by Florida man standards, he breaks into the Naples Police headquarters. Apparently the main office is closed at some point at night, you know, where all the office people go home. Well, he broke into that and had his way with like the locker rooms and the showers. And this comes from NBC2.
Naples police says Joseph Molden jumped over this fence, hid inside an unlocked patrol cruiser, hid there for a few minutes, then posted up behind some bushes. And once the coast was clear, investigators say he went on a rampage inside the building.
That's a pretty crazy story. It's like something out of a movie.
Except it's not. Naples police say Joseph Molden was able to outsmart security and break into somewhere most people want to avoid, police headquarters.
Why would you go to a place where people get arrested?
Before getting in, Molden shoved a water hose under the door and turned it on, flooding the floor with at least an inch of water. Once inside, he made himself right at home.
Then take a shower. I mean, come on.
You heard that right. A shower. Surveillance caught him walking around in a towel, then helped himself to a uniform shirt, hat, and bulletproof vest.
So the guy leaves the police station, is caught at a bar down the street because he's wearing a bulletproof vest and a mismatch of police uniforms, and he didn't get away with it. Aren't you shocked? So that's another Florida story down the tubes. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on Twitter at Florida Stories J.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Lesbians in space. I'm bi, and I had a girlfriend for a year, and it was very magical, very heady, a super transformative year for me. We were childhood friends, and we reconnected in adult life, and we hit it off. There were sparks. And it's very cute. You know, our parents live in the next village along from each other. It's like that level of wholesome. We'd cycle to each other's parents' houses with food from the farm shop. Like, need I say more?
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
A gold star lesbian is a lesbian who's also a pleasure to have in class.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late-night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my award-winning book, Disintegration. Roe followed Callum into his room, an act which didn't surprise him. She hopped up onto the table and folded her hands between her knees. Her legs swung back and forth as they dangled above the floor. When she didn't say anything, he took a seat in one of the chairs. "So, what else do you all have planned for me?" he asked. "How much more do I have to prove before you'll finally let me go outside and get a breath of fresh air, among other things?" I'm sure Zedek has more ideas for you when he returns. One side of her lips curled upward. "I didn't realize you were so eager to go out and start killing people." "Neither did I," he thought. "I don't know. I guess I just want to do something more useful than sitting under Vlad's microscope." Ro laughed. "Can't say I blame you." Her mouth returned to a straight line. "I have to say, though, I'm still not quite sure about you." "What aren't you sure about?" She tapped her chin. "I know I don't really know you, but I bet you were a nice, friendly guy before you wound up down here. I'm sure you were a doting husband and father, and an obedient, competent soldier. You may have gunned down a few opposing troops when you were ordered to do so, but I doubt anyone you knew had a bad word to say about you." Callum couldn't disagree with her assessment. "And next, you're going to tell me why this is a problem." "Because it could wind up getting you killed?" His gaze remained fixed on hers.
I see.
She slid around the curve of the table until she faced him head on. Nice is a weakness, something to be exploited. Zedek has no use for weaknesses. Neither do I. He continued to stare at her, unsure of whether to be miffed at her accusations. What do you want me to do? Start picking on lowly lab assistants for sport? Possibly. Her right leg stopped swinging, and she propped her foot up on the seat of his chair next to his thigh. There's no denying how, with your modifications, you can be one of the most brilliant members of this organization. But you don't think I have the attitude to back up the equipment. Ro slithered off the table and landed on his lap, straddling him. I've seen how strong you are. Her voice flowed over him like a viscous liquid, both in the training rooms and in here. Callum's breath hitched in his throat in response to her body pressing alongside him. He said nothing, and she continued. There's something inside you that doesn't give a damn about the amicable exterior you always presented. Something brutal. Something ruthless. She leaned forward, flattening her chest against his. He stifled a groan at the additional movement of her inner thighs across his lap. And this is what you want from me? He asked. Her head dipped down and her lips grazed the outside of his ear. I saw it simmering within you during the briefing in the conference room. I felt it when you held me down on your bed. Rose's fingers slipped between them and nimbly unfastened the top button of his shirt. Channel it and you'll be unstoppable. One by one, she unbuttoned the closures. His body reacted to her touch on his bare skin, and he draped his hands around her narrow waist, but she escaped his hold. She slid down to the floor and arranged herself between his legs. Callum closed his eyes and breathed a sigh of relief when she liberated the heavy bulge from his pants. Asking nicely isn't going to get you anything this time, she said. What do you want? He tried to reason through the carnal haze. If her ultimate goal was to get him to be more assertive and domineering, her methods were rather questionable. Desire won out over apprehension, and he attempted to make the next move in her scheming plan. Threading his fingers through her soft brown hair, he steered her closer to where he wanted her to be. Say it, Callum, she said. Her steamy breath danced across his sensitive skin. He mumbled something inaudible. Say the words. Oh, I think I'd better stop here, because if I say the words in the next line, we are all going to get into a lot of trouble. But you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Disintegration, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Time for Out and About with
Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's the Night on 9th Street party. It's a block party. It happens on South Street between 9th and 11th tomorrow night from 5 to 9. Here's what you're going to get: food. You're going to see some wonderful musicians. You'll see dogs. They also have many, many Jenny a clothier. A clothier, discount clothing, and my goodness, so much more that you can get at the Night on Ninth block party. Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney. Everybody loves to talk about Sydney Sweeney. And who can blame you? I can't blame you. I think she's great. She's one of my favorite people in the entire world. Looks fantastic in a jean jacket and jeans. She could be wearing that all the time. Sadly, I understand that Sydney Sweeney has been invited to the Night on Ninth block party, but unfortunately has not said whether she's coming or not. So why don't you come to the Night on Ninth Street block party? Even if there's no Sydney Sweeney, you're going to find yourself all loaded up with wonderful ladies to look at, delicious food items. You'll be able to dance to songs played by a bunch of guys who can barely play their instruments. It's a great time, and I want you to be there. Come and join the fun. It's Night on Ninth block party. That's tomorrow, Friday, 5 to 9 on South Street between 11th and 9th. We'll see you there. I'm Velo Houle. It's Out and About with Velo, 1210 WPHD, Sterling, every damn night.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
I like your energy.
I don't know what that means.
Sure you do. It's what you're feeling right now.
Oh.
If my feelings change, I will let you know.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.